We pray. Amen. Choir just sang about God talking about his people, you know, my people. The thing about it, I think this is true. Sometimes the people that I think should not be God's people are God's people anyway. Yeah? God's people includes a lot more people than I sometimes want him to include. Yeah? And so when he says his people or my people, it's quite often a larger group than I imagine. Some of you know the expression, you know, make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Christ. Some of you know that expression. It's a concept of making a friend, yeah, being a friend, and then introducing that friend to Christ. Some of you maybe have people outside the church that you let know that you're serious about your Christianity. Not that you're necessarily Christian, you know, but that you're serious about your Christianity. A lot of people might call themselves Christian because in some circles that's a good thing to be. But then to let somebody else know that they're serious about their Christianity, living it, practicing it, and maybe even sharing it. Some of you maybe have, it's probably not a good word to use, but probably some have some projects out there in the world, you know, people who you're working on, you know, and people who you're trying to share Christ in such a way that they might decide they want him in their lives. There are a lot more people out there today than when I was a teenager, and quite a while ago when I was a teenager, yeah. But there are quite a few people out there today that have never been inside a church. You know, there are some people who've gone to church and decided not to go back. But there are people who've never been inside a church. And the reason, they're teenagers who've not been inside the church. And in a lot of cases, it's maybe because their parents never been inside a church either. Yeah? And that's going to happen more and more and more. Yeah? And that's why we've got an opportunity, you know, always have had an opportunity for a mission field to let somebody else, and I think a lot of it is to simply let somebody else know what God means to you, you know, what God's done for you in Christ. And when you share, you know, maybe what you were like, or what your needs were, or what your lackings were, or what you had missing, and how God fulfilled that, there are people with the same needs that you had once upon a time out there who can relate and who may indeed respond. I hope that you got, you know, it'd probably be great for you if you had at least a handful of people that you're trying to share your faith with, you know. And it's going to be even more dynamic if it's somebody, you know, who's not a church person already. If they're a church person already, you're just trying to steal them, you know, which we don't need to be doing. There are enough people that can be fresh recruits, you know. And a lot of churches, the only growth they have is swapping with some other churches, you know, swapping members. You know. I've got some contact with an individual who's never been in church in his life. You know, has no idea the lingo, the language, or anything. You know. He's 20 or 21 or something like that. Has no idea. Doesn't even know the vocabulary. It's interesting, you know, when people don't know the lingo or any of that stuff. And I know the person I'm working with, he's already decided his dad's a hypocrite, so he ain't going to church. Because yeah? Yeah? He knows what his dad does and goes to church every Sunday. Yeah? I'm not going to church. My dad's a hypocrite. I'm not going there. Yeah? And on it goes. Yeah. It was okay for me to pray for his dad when his dad was in a coma, you know. But he left the room. Yeah, you can pray if you want to. Yeah. But he left the room. And I'm willing, I'm quite sure that you all have friends just like that. Now, you may not know you do, but you got friends, one of the things people talk about, you got friends, you got relatives, you got people you work with, and you got neighbors, and you got people like that all around you all the time. And the thing is, you got the good news, and they might not even know it. You may have the answer to what they're looking for, and they don't even know they're looking. Or they're looking and they don't know where to find the answers, and you're the one who has the answers. If God has ever filled a void, a gap in your life, if you've ever been on bone dry, if your tank has ever run out, and you're trying to drive your car and there's no gas in the tank, if you've ever been in that place spiritually, you probably also were in that place emotionally and mentally at the same time. And there are a lot of people out there in the world, and there's going to be more and more. Because, they're raising kids. And if you want something to do, if you're bored with your faith, your Christianity, with your religion, start sharing it with somebody out there, outside the walls, on the other side of the walls. Jesus, the scripture today is right after the scripture last week. And Jesus says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, this is about 2,000 years ago. And the people in his hometown synagogue spoke well of him. Like we're complimentary, when we have a guest speaker or one of our lay speakers, you say all these nice things to him as they leave, But then Jesus got to meddling, He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Good news will be preached to the poor. Jesus said, that's what I'm going to do. Jesus says, I'm going to preach good news to the poor. I'm going to proclaim release to the captives. I'm going to give recovery of sight to the blind. I'm going to set the oppressed free. He says, today this is fulfilled in your hearings. They were all watching him, and all of them said, oh, doesn't he speak well? Doesn't that sound good? Boy, I wonder where he got all that. He grew up here, Isn't his mother Mary? Isn't his dad Joseph? And then later they really did begin to realize he didn't get that here. I don't know where you got it, but you didn't get it here. Because he starts holding up examples that they didn't much care for. Jesus started talking about people who were Hall of Famers, and one of them was a widow from Sidon. Now, you still read about Sidon in the news today. Sidon was in Syria back then, and it's in Syria today. And just like today, you wouldn't want to hold up the Syrians as examples in Israel. It was not a smart thing for Jesus to do, to hold up a widow from Syria in the synagogue in Nazareth. It was not a politically correct thing to do. He holds up an outsider, a non-Jew, as a good example. You can turn in your Bibles to 401 in the Old Testament. It's going to be 1 Kings. Let me read this story to you. Let me read to you this widow that he's talking about. Page 401, 1 Kings, chapter 17, starting at verse 8. If you got your own Bible, 1 Kings 17, verse 8. I'll give you a few minutes to get there. Jesus loved his examples. They loved Jesus' examples so much, Jesus almost died that day in his own hometown. It would have been a hill. It wouldn't have been Calvary. It wouldn't have been Golgotha. They were going to push him off the cliff of his hometown. And it was his synagogue, home church synagogue people who were going to push him off the cliff. They were ready for him to die that day. Because they didn't like his examples. Watch this example. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. For I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Now it's Elijah. He says, I want you to go to Sidon, and there's a widow who's going to feed you. The famine has been a long, long time. And Elijah's afraid he's going to die, and God's going to take care of him by sending him to a foreigner's house, a widow in Zarephath in Sidon. So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Do you see what's going on here? This is all we got, and it's going to be our last meal, and we're going to eat it and die. And you want us to share with you? Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of the meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. You know, she and her son were going to die that day after they ate the meal. But she did what this prophet said. Yeah. Some of you have been at that place. Maybe none of you have, but some of you maybe been at that place. And hopefully, and no doubt, you had the wisdom to turn to the Lord to ask what you should do, and you did it. Now, maybe if it was in your spiritual life, you were bone dry. If you weren't dead spiritually, you were about to be. And you realized there wasn't anything you could do. And all you could do was ask and follow directions. Now, the other story is in 2 Kings. If you want to turn to it, it's a little bit longer. And the other story is also somebody from Syria. 2 Kings chapter 5. And it begins at verse 1. And this guy is a he's a Syrian soldier. He's a Syrian officer. And they're already making raids into Israel. I mean, nothing's changed. Yeah? Nothing's changed, yeah? And he captures a servant from Israel. And lo and behold, there's this outbreak of leprosy. And so he's got this Israel servant girl in his captives in Syria. And he's got leprosy. And she says, I know a prophet, and this time it's a different prophet. It's Elisha. If you'll go to him, he'll take care of your leprosy. Yeah? And it took a lot of convincing, but he did. The Syrian officer with leprosy goes to Elisha. Now, he figures that he's going to have to sell himself. But the short story is, you know, he was prepared to buy his healing, you know, of leprosy, and it didn't take anything except to wash himself, to follow directions, to wash himself in the river 7 times. He says, I got cleaner river in my country. Why should I wash myself? Why can't I go home and wash myself in the river there? It's because Elisha told him to wash himself in the river there. Yeah. We ask God for help, and then when he gives us the answer, we ask for God for the answer, and then we say, well, can I adjust it a little? Yeah. Yeah. And so finally he does it, and he's healed. Yeah. 7 times in dirty water. Yeah. Most all of you would say, that's not going to work. Yeah. 7 times in dirty water. And Jesus holds these up as Hall of Famers. foreign officer, soldier, enemy, you know, and a widow, you know, who didn't have anything to give. You know. Instead, she made the meal for Elijah, and they all three were able to eat for some long time. You know. The soldier didn't want to wash himself in the dirty water, but he wanted to be healed. You know. And sometimes you and I say, look, can I take option three? Yeah. God, can't you give me another option, another choice? You know the story, like, is there anybody else up there? You know, when he says, let go of the branch, you say, well, is there anybody else up there? Can I get another opinion? Some of you are bound to know this. Has Pete Rose stopped gambling? Does anybody know for sure? Maybe nobody knows for sure. Is he supposed to have stopped? And see, the thing is, we decide, you know, we decide who's good enough for anything, don't we? But then we don't want to measure ourselves by the same standards. You know? If he's quit gambling for 20 years, and already some of you are saying, oh yeah, big emphasis on the if, you know? Does he qualify? Should he qualify for the Hall of Fame? Should he get in? See, people have been talking about that for years, you know? Chuck Colson, oh yeah, he just got prison conversion. It can't be real, you know? You know? We decide, you know? But the real thing is, if we're pointing at somebody else, then we don't have to think about ourselves, you know? Jerry Ford, no, you don't pardon a president for doing something like that. You don't forgive a president for doing something like that. And still they're talking about him even the day he's buried, you know. Should he have, shouldn't he have had, you know. What about you? What about me? Should I be forgiven for the things I've done? And you can ask yourself the same question, you know. Should I be forgiven for the things I've done? Should I qualify for the Hall of Fame? Should I qualify for the Hall of Heaven? If at some point, someday, I finally follow the directions, you know, and even then, you know, I might need to turn around and follow them again. You know. These two people, and they didn't like, the people in his hometown didn't like the people that he held up as an example. One was willing to do everything Elisha said, and the other was willing to do, you know, everything Elijah said. A widow and an army officer. You know? And we get the choice too, whether we want to follow the directions, whether we're insiders or outsiders. We're going to sing now the song Sanctuary. It's 2164 in the little black skinny books for the choir. 2160, they should be right beside you there. 2164. And the words are going to be on the screen for the rest of us. We're going to sing Sanctuary. And I want to invite you as we sing to come and pray if you'd like to, or simply to pray and sing where you are. Please.